I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Luke Moore is here.
All right everyone,
it's time to talk about football. The show, everybody. My goodness, it's good to have you with us. What would we do without you? And what would I do without you two boys?
You'd collapse.
Without the listeners, we would just be talking endlessly into an empty void. And I, for one, am very happy we're not doing that.
Indeed, yes. Were you pleased with the football happenings this week, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have been absolutely gutted if they'd have called it all off. I don't know why that would happen.
Did you enjoy Jose Mourinho's little nod to Darth Vader with his jumper?
Yeah, that was an interesting sartorial choice, wasn't it? It's put himself out for some flack there. He doesn't mind that.
Fitting with the character.
Do you think he wasn't confident about the result for some reason? So I thought, I'll wear a really weird thing to sort of deflect any, you know, bad will that may come our way.
It was a bad choice.
Yeah.
It's the second bad choice he's made sartorially this season after the bright red roll neck he wore about 2 or 3 weeks ago now in an interview. And it wasn't just something he's chucked on because it had his initials on it as well. Mm. That was an official piece of club kit.
Really?
And it was a very, very loud red roll neck, similar to the one that James Horncastle wore on the continent last week, but red instead of blue.
I guess Mourinho's always been a sort of very stylish man, so if it gets to the point where he does have to have a sort of midlife crisis fashion-wise, it sort of reverses itself.
No, I think he had it at Real Madrid, when he went for that phase of wearing those Real Madrid polo shirts with the buttons down up to the top that were too small for him. He does go for a bit. When he's struggling a bit in the job, he does tend to let standard slip sartorially. He does.
He's not struggling in the job.
Not at all now.
I think that he wanted a bit more reinforcement with the cold Russian weather.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what it was. The garment that he was wearing reminds me of when you're looking around some of the high street brand, you know, the high street chain shops, rather, and you think, oh, that's not a bad jumper. And then you look and it's got like a multicoloured dragon in sequins on the back of it. And you think, oh, that's a shame. And I think he probably picked it up and thought, that's fair enough, but he didn't see that kind of Darth Vader-y, sort of leathery thing around the neck.
I don't like too much detail on clothing, personally. Mm-hmm. So I thought his team were fantastic. Another great performance from Romelu Lukaku. I didn't think the opposition was up to much really on the night, but I don't like to see Jose dressed in that sort of stuff, and I think he should take a look at it.
You've got a walrus head on your t-shirt.
I have.
Mm. It's fairly detailed.
It is. I've realised what I've said.
We got him, Jim.
Yeah.
I told you we would sooner or later.
Could it be that Mourinho was on his way to a fancy dress party immediately after the game?
Probably. Unlikely.
Yeah. Well, I just feel he could have been saving time. Yeah. He's a pragmatic man, isn't he?
Do you think he thought his team talk was, I'm pleased we got this game on this day because I was going to Moscow for a fancy dress party anyway. So two birds, one stone. Let's get a win for me.
Yeah.
Then I can show my face.
Yeah.
Lovely old job.
Yeah.
I think Which ironically you wouldn't see, I'm sure. Yeah.
Speaking of lovely old jobs, Chelsea beat Atletico away in the Champions League this week. The first English side to win at the Wanda Stadium. Yeah. First team to win there, full stop, I believe.
That aren't Atletico.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I think, is it right, Marcus, in history, whatever stadium they've played at, that's the first time an English team has won there. Is that right?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I saw the game last night, and I remember hearing a stat that I thought, that's impressive. And it was impressive, by the way. I mean, for those who didn't see it, Chelsea went into the break a goal down because David Luiz made a poor decision.
Yeah.
But they were very unlucky to go into the break a goal down and to turn it around against that Diego Simeone side away from home. Yeah, it's a really, really big achievement.
It is.
Yeah, and I know we can't read too much into it because we saw, for example, Barcelona beat Inter and then Inter won the Champions League that season. Yeah. So it doesn't mean an awful lot in the group stages, I suppose. But
in terms of finishing top, and also they've got Roma in there.
That's important.
Mm. They've got a very tough group.
And it was a really, really impressive performance. I thought they were good.
Toughest game on paper, you would say, for Chelsea in the group.
Absolutely.
They've gone there and won. But not all the Chelsea players were happy about this, of course, because Diego Costa, still a Chelsea player. He's still a Chelsea player.
My favourite story around this, and
there's a few.
I don't know for sure, or indeed care if it's true, because I never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Indeed.
I read, or I heard, I forget which, that Diego Costa desperately wanted to be unveiled before this game.
Oh, amazing. I heard that as well.
And Atletico said, no, we respect Chelsea Football Club, we're not going to do that. And I like to think that's why Diego had a face like a slapped arse in the crowd.
Mm, yeah.
I'd have respected him even more if he just did it anyway. Yeah. But I'm going out there.
Yeah. He was everywhere, though, wasn't he? He basically sort of did a little one-man mini-parade of the stadium by just popping up in as many places as possible, like Michy Batshuayi's Instagram feed, for example.
He was hugging Conte's brother as well.
Yeah, just all over the place.
It's great.
Just getting right amongst it.
The reason I respect it is because I think, and I've said this before on the show, and I think I said it to do with Sami Nasri, I think you've really got to go some to stand out as an idiot in the mad world of football. And anyone who can stand head and shoulders above the rest in just being a complete fool deserves immense credit.
There was a really interesting interview with Saul, on which side of the fence you grew up on. And he, a very in-depth interview about the man's career so far, and of course that kidney injury and so on and so forth. And they talked about Diego Costa, and the interviewer said, in England, Diego Costa is seen as a little bit mad and so on. But I'm sure, you know, once you get to know him, as you guys would know him, and Saul just cut in and went, no, he is crazy. He really is. But he's a great guy to have around the place and so on and so forth. And I love the quote from Felipe Luis, the Brazilian fullback, the excellent fullback, of course. The excellent Felipe Luis.
Chelsea Hall of Famer.
Indeed. Well, I've got another one who's gone over the line and come back again. And he said about Diego Costa, who and it's fair to say that even those just glancing at football would know Diego Costa as being a bit unprofessional of late. But Felipe Luis has got a different spin on it. He said, few players have done as much to move to a club as Diego. This, of course, is in light of Diego Costa's transfer to Atletico Madrid.
It's certainly one way of looking at it, isn't it?
Well, he said, I have never seen a player make such an effort to come here. It's an example to us all.
That is unbelievable.
Incredible.
I've never seen someone make more effort to come here by showing such a lack of effort on the other side of the coin.
By so much unprofessionalism, you've gone full circle and you're back to full professional in my eyes.
London to Madrid via Brazil.
Yeah. Should we make time for a little special mention for Eden Hazard, who was excellent?
Well, he was, yeah.
Good to see him back.
Yeah. I'm sure Premier League defenders won't agree with me, but it was good to have him back as well. Unlucky with a deflected shot. So good, he's hitting it off defenders and then
I wonder if he'll feature at the weekend, because clearly he's had a serious injury, hasn't he? I think he broke his ankle, didn't he? There's certainly a fracture to his ankle, which clearly is a serious problem, and whether he can muster himself for another game at the weekend, a big game as well, remains to be seen. But he was excellent last night.
Will Michy Batshuayi get a call?
Well, he's pushing it.
He's performing, and it was great.
Fantastic.
We said this last season, you know, that he's got talent. He went there for big money, you know, a year ago, big money, and got a couple of crucial goals for Chelsea. He got the goal that clinched them the league title, of course, among others. And he was a little bit of the forgotten man for a few months, certainly.
Mm, but talk of a loan as well.
Exactly, but he's got himself back in there. He's got his head down, and what a goal to win the game. A beautiful passing move.
Brilliant bit of team play from Chelsea, though, wasn't it? Because Atleti made one mistake really late on, and they just pounced on it. Three of them could have put that in the net. That was such a brilliant exploitation of the tiny amount of space that Atleti leave.
Also, it reminds you of Ron Atkinson, who used to say when players complained to him about being on the bench, he would say, don't tell me, show me. Mm. And Batshuayi is doing that. I mean, it seems to me, I mean, he scored a hat-trick in the League Cup, didn't he, a week or so ago?
I think he's got five goals this season, which is impressive for the minutes he's had.
When he's called upon, he does seem to... I mean, it seems to me, anyway, that he pops up with important goals.
Mm, not a forgotten man anymore, unlike Ron Atkinson, of course.
Well, the game at the weekend is undoubtedly the big one, isn't it?
It is.
And Chelsea are currently 7-4 with Bet365 to beat Man City. So £10 will return £27.50, including stake. And Conte's a bit upset about the amount of time they don't have, well, the lack of time they have to prepare for the game.
It's that time of year when managers moan about the schedules. And Mourinho Mourinho's moaning as well, and Conte is, because Conte said effectively we've only got one day to prepare. They play on the Wednesday night. They get back in the early hours of Thursday morning.
So they won't do anything Thursday.
No, yeah. And then you've got Friday, and the game on Saturday. Yeah. Manchester City have that extra day because they played on the Tuesday night. Mm. I understand it, but it's not like the Premier League is stitching them up, because Arsenal and Everton are both playing on Sunday, I believe. They're going to be playing Thursday night in the Europa League.
Yeah,
it's just modern football. You know?
Do you think this is a precursor to? I think this is a little theory for you, and I might fall flat on my face like I did with the Watford one, but I'll keep putting myself out there.
Yeah, damn right.
I'm nothing if not a brave broadcaster. Exactly. I think Conte's preempting the idea that he wants to play with a packed defensive midfield and defence against City because they scored so many goals and they've been so good, and he knows he may not get away with that on its own terms at home because Chelsea are a proud team and, you know, they're champions and all the rest of it. So he's preemptively saying, well, we had to do that because we were so tired.
Yeah. Do you know what you say? Chelsea are a proud club. Of course they are, and they should be. But I think, I don't know, because I don't go down to Stamford Bridge that often, but I wonder if Chelsea are perhaps, I don't know about an exception, but one of the few big clubs that kind of just sort of trust the manager, because Mourinho was there for a while. And actually, if Chelsea did play quite defensively at home and then nicked it or got a result of sorts, then I think the fans are a bit more forgiving and actually kind of they're more results based down there, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
I think they will do that. Mm. I think Conte will do that.
Because it's worked for them so much in the past, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you look back to the great Italian sides who were great at sort of, you know, just rubbing out a 1-0 win if they absolutely needed it, I don't think anyone was sort of, you know, angry about that. I think Chelsea fans will look at that and go, this is part of the grit and the steel that we traditionally now have as a club. And, you know, I think you're probably right. They're more than any of the other big clubs, actually, they're sort of a bit more understanding of that pragmatism being put in place when it needs to be there.
I like your description of rubbing out a 1-0 win. Yeah, we'll leave that there.
Abramovich isn't, though, is he?
Although that seems to have calmed down a little bit in recent years.
Sated by a title win.
But he can't be that vocal about it. Let's not forget the Champions League win they had.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a total robbery. But they won it.
Exactly. Name on the trophy.
Yeah, and that can never be undone, Bayern. Thanks.
No.
Batshuayi probably won't start because of the form of Alvaro Morata, who got another goal against old rival's lovely flicked header against Atletico, of course, former Real Madrid man. Fernando Torres apparently offered Alvaro Morata advice before joining Chelsea.
And Morata didn't take it.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
and that's why he's doing so well.
Do better than I did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Torres also said, by the looks of it, Morata didn't need any help after the start he's made.
Yeah. I mean, what could his advice have been? Wander around the pitch like a forlorn ghost. That's all I remember Torres doing at Chelsea.
Oh, come on. Don't be nasty.
Scored an important goal in the Champions League.
He did.
He got that.
Poor Fernando. I was just
Gary
sad for him at the time.
Yeah.
I was just sad for him at the time. He looked so unhappy, didn't he? It was horrible.
I know, but he didn't quite cut the mustard. But there we are. That was all in the past. And Antonio Conte was thanked by his former Italy assistant and current Spartak Moscow manager Massimo Carrera. This was because Conte apparently helped Carrera plan for his side's match against Liverpool in the Champions League, which ended 1-1. I do quite like that.
Do Liverpool fans know about this yet?
Well, they do now.
They're fuming.
One of the quotes from Carrera is quite funny and incredibly dismissive. During the conversation, we talked about Liverpool for just a couple of minutes.
That's what I needed. If it had been 4 or 5 minutes, we'd have got the win.
Yeah, exactly. Just talk that little bit more.
Yeah.
You're getting a couple of more points. But as you say, Luke, Chelsea do play Manchester City on Saturday, which is the thigh rubber of the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, arguably of the season so far.
Yes.
Because we've not seen
quite
City
possibly.
Sort of really tested against a top team yet. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, obviously, you put Liverpool in that bracket, but they went a man down.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about this one. As we've, you know, discussed, I'm really fascinated by Conte's approach. Will he go toe-to-toe with Guardiola? I mean, Guardiola's definitely going to do that. And I wonder, in the modern Premier League, can you win the Premier League without a plan B? I would say, broadly speaking, no at the moment. And, you know, Guardiola doesn't seem to have that. But, I mean, this could buck that trend if they are just so irresistible.
Guardiola's out to prove you wrong, Jim.
Mm.
And if anyone can, perhaps it's him.
I think Guardiola could prove me wrong on a number of things.
He can prove everyone wrong just by the teams he picks. There's no point trying to guess what team he's going to play. Mourinho and Guardiola, the two managers that I think this season in the Premier League, you can't predict what they're going to do. There's no point trying. Because they can do anything. Guardiola will play fullbacks in midfield. Mourinho will ignore the best performing midfield of last season regularly. It's impossible to know.
But the style of Guardiola will always be on the front foot and will always be attacking, which is like how he likes his sides to play. But you're right, there's much more intricacies in there, of course. But I think Chelsea are set up to play that counter-attacking style, and I think that's what they should do. And it'll be very interesting to see, because this is the first real test, as you say, for Manchester City.
Also, they're missing Benjamin Mendy now, which is, you know, is going to be a real change for them because he's been so good so quickly.
Yeah, well, indeed. We shall move on, though, to another lovely little story for an English club in the Champions League. It was Spurs and Harry Kane's perfect hat-trick. Mm. Oh, he's good, isn't he? Goal of the World Cup! Yeah, calm down, everybody, for crying out loud. He's the seventh Englishman to score a Champions League hat-trick, of course. Can you name them?
Andy Cole.
Yeah, you've got them written down. Yeah.
Mike Yule.
It was more of a shout to the listeners. Mike Yule.
Mike Yule's a great one.
Well, in case the listeners do want to know, it's Andy Cole, Mike Yule, Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney, Alan Shearer, and Welbs.
Welbs. Mm. Welbs and Shearer, I forgot about those ones.
Mm. Mike Newell, I think, was the first hat-trick in the Champions League, was it not?
Was it not the quickest for a while? I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, there was a
9 minutes or something?
Definitely a bit of trivia attached to it.
Do you mean British players to score a hat-trick or actual first hat-trick?
No, because it was when around when the Champions League first started. So yeah. I can't remember the exact
Definitely one of the quickest ones, yeah.
But, I mean, look that performance from Harry Kane, and there's been a lot of think pieces and a lot of sort of articles come out post this, around this game, but also post about the individual prowess, if you like, of Harry Kane when compared to the two traditional big best players in the world, Messi and Ronaldo. Mm. And I personally don't have a huge interest in individual players and how good they are or aren't in that context. I prefer to think about the teams. And the reason for that is because I've never met an ex-pro or even a current player who wants to talk more about the individual trophies they've won ahead of the team trophies they've won. You know, you say to a player, what have you won? They say, well, league titles, these cups, this, that and the other. And I think players do want to win things like Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues and, you know, if possible, World Cups, you know, international level. I think most forwards would take a league title win over, say, two Golden Boots. Would you say that's fair?
Of course.
Yeah.
So it doesn't interest me in a huge amount in that context. But I have to say that performance from Harry Kane was a real scruff of the neck performance. Mm-hmm. It was a real. Look, I'm going to drag this team through this game because Applewell weren't terrible. They started off brightly and they hit the bar at one point. And Spurs needed someone to really spark him. Mm. And his goals were of such great quality in that game. They really were.
Yeah, it's that touch from his right to bring it onto his left for the first one was just absolutely superb. And one of the great things about Kane is how well he operates in a very tight amount of space. If he's got a defender on him and a goalkeeper bearing down on him, you still back him. You still expect him to come out on top, and he so often does.
And he's got a great temperament as well as Kane. Yeah. You can't imagine him doing anything stupid, kind of getting sent off or anything, apart from maybe that away match at Stamford Bridge, you know, the fight at the bridge when Spurs got caught up in that. But, you know, seldom do you see anything that Harry Kane does and you think, a bit level-headed guy. And in interviews and the way is, you don't think there's going to be much scandal off the pitch. Who knows? It could be around the corner. You never know with footballers. But he seems like a decent chap.
He's got the right mentality. He seems just like a good bloke, nice person, very focused. And that is so important.
Oh, yeah. He could go at the top, Luke. He could go at the very top.
I was talking to Ray Parler, who said to me that sorry, it was my chair squeaking. I was talking to Ray Parler. He said to me, Arsene Wenger came to Arsenal at exactly the right point in my career because I was going out too much, I wasn't taking it seriously, and I saw that Wenger was letting players go. And I thought, it's my chair again. Sorry, guys.
Come
I
know on,
I've got such a
squeaky
chair.
Sausage.
I'm looking over at the producer. Mate, and she's not giving me any explanation.
You're going through the vaults. It's fair enough, it's the vault door.
Yeah. And anyway, so Parler said, look, and what happened was, Arsene Wenger made me a better player without question because he got me to think about the game differently, but also because he made me realise that mentally it's as important as the physical side of it. And if you're lucky enough to be someone like Harry Kane and be that type of character anyway, it's hugely going to benefit you. You know, we talked at the top of this show about players, you know, who stand out as just absolute dickheads you know, in the mad world of football anyway. Does that benefit their game? You could argue that someone like Diego Costa maybe plays on the edge and that helps him, but I don't think it helps him all this other nonsense that comes along with it.
Not.
And Harry Kane obviously doesn't have that, and that's a great asset to have, and it means he's probably more likely to have a far longer career than otherwise.
You'd think so as well, and as we've said so many times about him, he does score every type of goal, which makes an absolute nightmare to play against. How do you prepare for that? What do you what do you take into that sort of performance? I think it's worth us mentioning Sissoko again because he got an assist for one of the games. I think Pochettino is basically he's used him in a very intelligent way, which is he's making a virtue of his running. You know, he's using him to bomb on and create space and just actually get the best out of this quiet kind of unfocused player, and you know, credit to both of them really.
I think Sissoko's a better start to the season than anyone could have imagined. I think,
And
I don't think that he's been a world beater or anything like that. But people were thinking that his career was done at Spurs, and he's shown that perhaps it might not be.
You get the cameras out, and you're fine.
And they play away this weekend, don't they, at Huddersfield?
They do. Well, I mean, that's
it's a tough one.
to go away in the Champions League for a very different type of match, and then you come back to the Premier League and you're away against Huddersfield, where you're going to be playing against a physical side who won't be afraid to give you a little bit of a kick, it's fair to say. And that's not disrespectful to Huddersfield. That's served them well so far. They've had a number of clean sheets already in the Prem.
This is a big ask for them, though, isn't it? Indeed, this is a tougher test than they had,
The curious thing about this game will be whether Huddersfield try and challenge Spurs to break them down.
Yeah.
I don't know if Spurs are good at breaking teams down at the moment. That's my question mark over there.
True enough. You'd be a fool to think that Harry Kane won't score in this one. 34 goals and 30 league appearances in 2017. 11 goals in his last 7 matches.
He scored more goals than anyone this calendar year or something like that, isn't it? That's something like that. That's the
is
fact
that
he's
right?
been doing the rounds. The Terriers are currently a big 15-2 to beat Spurs with Bet365. £10 will return £85, including stake.
There you are, you see, ladies and gentlemen. There you are. Now it's time for correspondence with Jim Campbell.
Yes, it is. Ramblers. Just diving straight in. After listening to your recent correspondence section where you discussed the depressing demise of the player manager, you mentioned Glenn Hoddle and whether he played top flight football while managing Swindon. Well, he must have played top flight football for Chelsea, as an early cup final memory of mine was Eric Cantona slotting home a second penalty in the 1994 Cup final against Hoddle's Chelsea. Indeed, yeah.
I remember now.
The camera immediately cut to Hoddle on the bench. His reaction? To instantly unzip his jacket like Superman throwing off his former Clark Kent attire to enter the action and save the day.
And they got battered, didn't they?
Sadly for Hoddle, Chelsea wanted to lose 4-0. That's from James Shea.
Man United were all over them.
Yeah, imagine that now.
I'm pretty sure that season, though, Chelsea did the double over them in the league. 2-1-0 wins. You remember the scorer of both goals?
No.
Gavin Peacock.
Was it really? That's excellent memory and excellent knowledge.
Reverend Gavin Peacock.
Yeah, he became a monk, didn't he?
He's a minister out in Canada.
Right, okay. Because he was a good pundit, wasn't he?
He was bad. He used to do African Cup of Nations stuff.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I did remember Hoddle being player manager at Chelsea for a while, but I don't think he played for Swindon in the Premier League.
That's what we were debating, wasn't it? I said I'm fairly sure he played as player manager for Swindon at Fratton Park.
No, he did. He was player manager.
And that's what I'm saying, but Portsmouth weren't in the top flight then. So that's what we were saying.
Chelsea, a little bit of recent history with the player manager.
Yeah.
Conte's 48 now. It's just a little bit too old.
Hi guys. I have a story that might be of interest to you. A few years ago, a friend was working a photo shoot that featured none other than Cristiano Ronaldo. Before it started, the director ran up to the makeup artist and exclaimed, "I've just seen Cristiano and you need to redo his makeup. You've used far too much." To which the makeup artist replies, "I haven't done it yet."
I knew you were going to say
that. That's how he arrived. That's from Dan.
That's glorious.
That's great, isn't it?
I really hope that's true.
Yeah, no, so do that I. That is extremely believable.
Yeah. Mm. That doesn't make it true, though.
Well.
No, absolutely not.
I've heard some very, in quotes, believable stories about you, Mr. Speller.
Have you really?
I don't know if they're all true, though.
Well, I told you them all. You can trust me. Do you have any more?
We do. We have another one from James Norman. Ramblers, your recent podcast in which you mentioned failed X-Factor crooner Chico's unveiling at Turf Moor reminded me of what came directly after it. The following season, in 2008, Parachutists provided pretty much entertainment, but a disaster struck with one failing to land on the intended target of the pitch and instead getting stuck on top of the away stand.
I remember that.
Yeah. Kickoff was delayed by an hour whilst the fire brigade tried to get him down, and Burnley duly lost 3-0 in a drab performance. That's from James Norman.
I do remember that, actually. And following on from the last show, we talked about Nigel Kennedy being unveiled at Cracovia.
Yes.
Or not unveiled, but, you know,
inexplicably there.
No, well, apparently he's got a place there and he is actually a big fan of the club.
Oh, wow.
He goes to games quite regularly, according to someone who got in touch with me after that.
I think the supporters don't know who he is.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible.
Speaking of Nigel's on the continent.
Yeah.
Nigel Pearson.
Oh, yeah. Belgian second division club.
Lovely.
Ooh.
Are you an ostrich?
That's what...
You don't know that news. You must be an ostrich.
That's what we want, ladies and gentlemen. You see, English managers branching out to the Belgian second tier.
You've got to start somewhere.
Indeed you do. Right, we're going to talk about Crystal Palace. Oh, and Swansea after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Crystal Palace are in a bad way. It got a lot worse for them when Christian Benteke picked up an injury, ruling him out for 6 weeks.
Who shall replace his goals?
Well, they're looking at free agents. I mean, one fit striker is
literally
available.
Literally anyone. Any human being could do it.
It's a shame.
And indeed, any sentient member of the animal kingdom could do it as well.
We're talking about player managers. It's a shame they got Hodgson in because he is too old.
Yeah. Speaking of Roy's, maybe it's Roy Essendog could come back.
Roy the Rovers, Jim, is what they need.
But yeah, Roy Essendog didn't play for Palace, though. He played for Wickham, didn't he?
No, but he was that sort of gun for hire,
I'm
wasn't
up
he?
For
they
it.
Got,
I'm
they
just
got
saying,
him off CFAX.
I'm up
they?
For it. I think that might be another myth, but I'm up for it as well.
Palace have got one fit striker available in the form of Freddy Ladapo, who was playing non-league football last year. He hasn't made a first-team performance yet. He was sent out on loan to Oldham and Shrewsbury. Didn't pull up too many trees there.
But here's my sort of beef on behalf of Freddy Ladapo. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and I've never seen play. But if he was signed on merit, and presumably he was, he's 24 years old, and your first instinct when your frontline striker gets injured is to go, we need anyone.
Yeah.
And I do include Colton Cole in that. What is that doing for the confidence of Freddy Ladapo?
I agree. I actually agree with you there.
It's a strange one, isn't it, to have players knocking around that you openly don't want.
Look, a 24-year-old, no matter how good Ladapo is, and obviously he's got something because a Premier League club have signed
him. Taken a chance on him, yeah.
He's got fitness at least. Or he's a 24-year-old, right? There's big talk of 33-year-old Carlton Cole being brought in, released by Indonesian side Persib Bandung last month after joining them in March. Forgive pronunciation. The names of other free agents that were mentioned in the media were Ricky Lambert. Now, he hasn't played since the summer. Now, OK, Ricky Lambert, you can understand that. At least he's a big target man.
Yeah. Mm.
So there is a long ball tactic to be enjoyed there, potentially. Giuseppe Rossi was mentioned. I can't see that happening. David Ngog. 38-year-old Claudio Pizarro. I mean, good player back in the day. Former Palace player Marouane Chamakh. And Dani Osvaldo was mentioned in this particular article. Right. Dani Osvaldo quit last year to concentrate on music.
Is that,
and they haven't done the research,
Is that author of the article just naming players?
I think it is. It's like, who are the free agents in football? Because they're available.
Let me fire up Football Manager.
Well, if you're going to put in retired players, I mean, Matthew Letizia is available.
Pele.
Can I just say that with Ladapo, I mean, presumably he's match fit because he's at least fighting fit because he scored a handful of goals in League One last season for Oldham and for Shrewsbury. He is a currently working professional forward, right, who you've signed because you think he's got some sort of merit. Mm. Just play him.
Yeah,
I reckon put Big Scott Dan up front. Let him make up for the other week.
What's going to happen, Jim? Are they going to start scoring negative goals? It's not, nothing can get worse.
I mean, to be fair, that is absolutely it. You might as well chuck in the big Ladapo. And it's one of those fairy tale stories where the stars align and all the rest of it, and you suddenly get a new hero from
somewhere. And you get a 0-0.
And you get a 0-0. And he defends very well from the front.
Yeah.
I think 0-0 might be an ask. I think Lukaku might wrap up the Golden Boot this weekend.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Away to Manchester United, all you're looking for is the last thing you want is a striker who, in the form of Carlton Cole, hasn't played in England for a couple of years.
I don't think he scored a top flight goal since 2014.
Since playing in the Premier League,
for West Ham, I think that was.
He has played in Indonesia and for, I think it would, forgive me if this is quite incorrect, but Sacramento Republic.
Right, okay. Mm.
You know, so
sounds like a shop.
Well, it's not getting any easier for Palace because they're at Manchester United this weekend. They've got Chelsea in after that, haven't they? So it's tough for them. I mean, if you do fancy them to battle out to a draw, and you know, last season that wouldn't have been ridiculous.
No,
Of course we're not playing in last season.
No, we're not.
But a draw with Bet365 is 6-1. So £10 returns £70, including stake. Good luck with that.
Yeah. It could be one of those results. Mourinho's moaning about the schedule. Mm. He could feel the weaker side to prove a point, and it backfires on him.
Palace have never beaten them in the Premier League, so that you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a big ask.
My goodness. They've had a few draws over the years. A notable one, of course, was when Cantona got sent off.
Mm.
for kicking that fan. Always worth revisiting that, ladies and gentlemen.
I wonder when Manchester United are going to actually have a tough game. It's an absolute doozy of a Champions
League. It's been a fixture mix up.
Well, in a fortnight they play Liverpool away. There's an international break, isn't there? And in a fortnight's time they play Liverpool away. And then they're away to Benfica. And then they go away to Huddersfield. So it seems like they're getting all their easy ones out of the way early. And yes, I do include Liverpool at Anfield in that.
Yeah. Well, the Guardiola-Mourinho rivalry has been kept very much under wraps. I mean, last season there wasn't really much of a rivalry, of course, in terms of where the sides were positioned. This season, you know, it could be an explosive one. But then, I don't know, some were suggesting that Mourinho and Guardiola have just thought, it's an unwanted distraction and so on and so forth. But that first Manchester derby will be a great one, so we look forward to that. Might be in December. Can't remember off the top of my head quite rightly.
What's that, the first Manchester derby?
Yeah, but Jose Mourinho...
Yeah, it's on the 9th of December.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Jose Mourinho will be in the dugout where he belongs, ladies and gentlemen, after he avoided a ban after being sent to the stands against Southampton. And Mourinho said that Mourinho said that if he was not punished, then it's because he shouldn't have been sent off.
Right, OK, so what he's saying is the reason I wasn't punished is because there was nothing to punish me for.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Even though he encroached on the pitch.
I doubt that, yeah.
Leave it alone.
But then Mourinho played his weird sort of mind games. He then went to compliment referee Craig Pawson, who was in charge of the match, proclaiming Pawson as one of the big talents in England and had an amazing game when officiating the match.
What Jose's done is he's created this aura around himself where he can say whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and people will ascribe mind games in quotes to it. Mm. Uh-huh. So it's almost like he's given this moniker of having genius mind game skills. I don't know if he has. What he does is it reminds me of when you see like an American politician filibustering like a bill where you have to talk for 14 hours without repeating, without stopping, without going to the toilet. That's basically a Mourinho press conference. Mm.
You on the payroll, aren't you, Luke?
I'm up for it.
He's using you like a puppet.
Yeah. Listen, if Jose Mourinho comes in for me, you two will not see me for that. I'll do a podcast with him.
Indeed.
And I won't get a word in. Everyone would love it.
But we'll dry your tears when you come crawling back.
Yeah.
Shouting, I've been used. Yeah.
Three seasons later.
Yeah. Maximum.
Oh, dear. Let's go to Wales because former Swansea forward Scott Sinclair... I say go to Wales. We're actually going to go back to the Champions League because former Swansea forward Scott Sinclair got himself a goal for former Swansea manager Brendan Rodgers. Mm. Their Celtic side and got a lovely 3-0 win at Anderlecht in the Champions League. Great win. A much-needed win, of course. Yeah. They're in a group with PSG and Bayern, of course. An away win in the Champions League is always good. To win 3-0 as well, it was great stuff. And Sinclair and Rodgers, they're having a lovely time at Celtic.
Yeah, I think it was Lee Griffiths after the game said that they'd obviously targeted both those Anderlecht games because, I mean, when you've got Bayern and PSG in there, you're not realistically going to get above third. But, you know, that's very smart. They have to win those games. And they're emphatic. You know, Anderlecht are not going to enjoy going to Celtic, I think, after that.
They're having a bit of a poor time of it at the moment, Anderlecht. But what Celtic need to do is they need to understand, obviously they probably do understand this, that they're not as good as PSG and they're not as good as Bayern. But Bayern Munich are going for a bit of a patch. I mean, they're probably about to lose their manager. So by definition, that's going to cause a little bit of instability. And Celtic need to be there to pounce if there's any chink of light in the armour and to nip in and get that second spot. Because, I mean, you'd think they would get the Europa League position. And I think, you know, if they get a bit of, but Marcus, if they get a bit of luck and they do go into the Europa League and they get a bit of luck beyond that, they've got a chance of going deep in this competition. They're confident, they win all the time. Mm. I mean, their undefeated run domestically is incredible. So second would be amazing for them because I think Rodgers is really going to, if he can make any impression at all on the Champions League, that's going to stand him in good stead for his next job because he's not going to stay at Celtic forever. But if it goes into the Europa League, that might also be a bonus as well because I think they can go deep, I do.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, their old club are currently 15th, though, with 5 points from 6 matches in the Prem. Swansea, of course, they got a disappointing result at home last Saturday, beaten 2-1 by a late Watford goal. But Tammy Abraham, he scored his second goal in the league and Bonny got his first start since returning to the club. They're away to West Ham, which, if their results are anything to go on so far, could be a good thing because the Swans haven't conceded in 3 away matches this season.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, that's
which is quite an odd statistic because they've not been. I mean, you know, they've got 5 points this season. If you look at the table and you look at the sides around them, it's not terrible.
Well, given that Crystal Palace aren't on the board yet, so can't be considered in terms of goal scoring, Swansea are the lowest scorers in the Premier League of the teams who've actually bothered to start scoring goals.
Indeed, yeah. And only 3 goals.
And
we said this
last week, Marcus, that I don't know where their goals are going to come from. It's good for them that Tammy Abraham got off the mark, but he is not going to be able to lead a line for them and score enough goals to keep him in the division. So
he's got 2 already this season. Looks quite lively.
Well, I mean, Bonny getting his first start is big for them. As we've said before, he just simply has to sort of rediscover some of the form that he had before. But you wonder if a player whose, you know, confidence has been damaged over a fairly long period can get back to those heights.
I mean, the thing is with Swansea, I mean, Paul Clement said last weekend that he was unhappy because they only really played for 40 minutes. And that's because he made a tactical change at half-time. They were playing a 3-5-2 and they changed to a 4-3-3 in the second half. Looked much better. I wouldn't be surprised if he might go for a front three of Ayew, Bonny and Abraham. Mm. And potentially there's goals there. I mean, Ayew has little patches where he plays well and scores a few goals and then he goes a little missing.
That's the problem with a lot of them, isn't it?
Well, yes. But if Bonny can recapture his initial or form when he was first at Swansea, then they're away. I think Abraham, you know, he is a threat. He is a threat.
We're asking, there's a lot of ifs and buts in this. I mean, if Bonny gets his form back of however many years ago, if Abraham can step up, he said he's got two goals now. Yeah. Apologies, I thought he had only scored one. If Jordan Ayew can get into a rich, these things aren't going to happen.
No, but when I'm saying ifs and buts, Bonny has performed in the Premier League before.
Correct.
He's got it in him.
Correct.
Ayew does have few patches, so if he can just stretch them out a little bit, Abraham showing signs of encouragement. Just say it's within the realms of possibility that Swansea could find themselves in a little bit of a better position, but it's very difficult. But going away to West Ham, that is a winnable game. But both sides have got to be looking at that as a winnable game because they're struggling.
You can't have a conversation about this and Swansea going forward without the fact that they've lost Sigurdsson as well, who creates so many chances for them. So that's going to be a factor too.
Like missing a central nervous system, isn't it? From
it
that
really
team?
Is
very much so. And but you know the thing is, what they can do in this situation is try and make themselves tough to beat. And those clean sheets are obviously a step in that direction.
West Ham have got a fit Manuel Lanzini to call upon for the match at the London Stadium, which is a plus for them.
Yeah, Swansea 7-2 with Bet365 to pick up a win at the London Stadium. So £10 will return £45, including stake. You wonder what the future holds for West Ham and poor old Slaven, don't you, as well?
Yeah, you do indeed.
I don't think he's a brilliant manager or anything, but I do feel sorry for him as well.
You have to. There was a story in the press, I think, last week, Tammy Abraham deciding not to opt to play for Nigeria, the country of his father, and he's represented England at youth level before. I always find it quite an interesting chat. Sometimes players, when they decide not to do that, because he's clearly got a bit of ambition. I mean, he may well feel that he's not Nigerian. You know, there's that kind of argument there. But in pure footballing terms, it would suggest that he feels like, you know, I think I might have a shot of playing for England there without being disrespectful to Nigeria.
Mm. Well, he's only 19.
Well, exactly. But then you see, you know, a couple of years later, he goes, oh, go on then, I'll play for Nigeria or something, you know.
That's official. He's declared for them, has he?
Well, he's not declared for Nigeria.
Okay, right.
Whereas the likes of Victor Moses, Alex Iwobi, maybe even Shola Amiobi.
Yeah, he did as well.
Yeah,
another man who got a double in the Champions League once. Upon
To be fair to someone like Tammy Abraham, if he came through 20 years ago, you'd think, well, he's probably not going to get a chance because England had so many good strikers, so many sort of capable strikers who would score at the top level regularly. Could you argue they've got that now? I mean, Harry Kane aside, who would you put behind Harry Kane, the pecking order forwards for England?
Well,
I mean, you're looking at a little, very unfit Daniel Sturridge.
Well, there's a little lad called Isaac Vassell, currently playing for Birmingham City.
Isn't he now?
He is a relation to Darius.
Nice link, Mark. Yeah. Well done, mate.
Who knows, ladies and gentlemen, we could have Vassell back in that squad.
And what type of player is he, Marcus?
He's a small striker.
Is he really, yeah? And what would you say his strengths and his weaknesses?
Well, I haven't seen him play yet.
Strengths related to Darius Vassell. Yeah.
Probably pacing.
Yeah.
Allows me a link to Sven.
Yeah.
Weaknesses, consistency, general finishing.
Yeah.
But great attitude. Great attitude on the boy.
Big in Turkey.
Yeah. So the most recent squad, and I know the England squad for the next round of games has been announced today.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that yet. But the most recent one before that was Marcus Rashford, Harry Kane, Sturridge, Welbeck, Vardy and Defoe.
Yeah.
Defoe's not going to be around much longer, of course, in a playing sense. I've got no... I don't know what's happening to him personally, but he's not going to play for much longer. Vardy's 30 already. Sturridge can't stay fit, as Jim's alluded to. Harry Kane's world-class, so he's always going to play.
Rashford sometimes plays on the wing.
Exactly, and Welbeck is in and out, isn't he? So, there is an opening there, probably, for Abraham, if he can score a consistent amount of goals.
Are you forgetting about a little guy called Theo Walcott?
No, I'm not forgetting about him. I know I am forgetting about him, but that's very much a conscious decision. Here's one for you, then. If Abraham was playing a little bit part here and there and coming on for a team like Chelsea still, would he be in the England squad?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If he's lively...
Would he be doing a Neil McCann?
Look, he may not have many goals, but if he's lively, they might say, many runs as Tammy Abraham.
Yeah. Don't get it.
Okay, many sons as Father Abraham.
Oh, okay, right. I mean, it was...
Wrong room.
I think you'll look back on that and think it, and say it was
a stretch. That was one of my best. And I've no doubt the listeners will agree, as they always do. And if they don't, how come they do? Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Our best bet is from the man James Short, who's still in the hot seat after Watford bounced back. And he had them as part of a double with someone else. Man United, I think, away at Southampton. So he's still in the hot seat. He's already raised a good amount of money for Prostate Cancer
good
UK.
Man.
And he's back in the inbox, back in the hot seat with this. Greetings, Ramblers. I was delighted to see Swansea's defenders come over all charitable in injury time last week, passing like the Red Sea, to see our bet home and usher me back into the hot seat. This week's effort takes inspiration from that timeless image of Marcus's spirit animal, Kevin Keegan, slumped over the advertising hoardings as Big Stan hammered home the winner for Liverpool against Newcastle way back in 1996. Mm-hmm. Do you want a moment, Marcus, or you're all right?
No, I have many moments.
He says, I'm taking us up to St James's on Super Sunday and going for over 3.5 goals in the game between Newcastle and Liverpool. Not quite the goal glut of 96, but hopefully a decent return for charity. Best wishes, James Short. So, over 3.5 goals in Newcastle v Liverpool is 13-8 with Bet365, and £50 will return £131.25, including stake, for Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. We wish you all the best, James. You're in a decent position. I think that's a good bet.
I do.
Number one. Number two, you're in a decent position to be the first one to get a hat-trick on the board. Yeah. And I think we should have some sort of, in our office, we should have some sort of a hall of fame on the board for that. Get the names up there, Instagram it so people can see it. Let's not get ahead of ourselves over James.
Yeah, because no one's done it.
He's in the right position.
So, I mean, you know, we don't want to give him friend of the Ramble status. He's probably already got it.
I think a hat trick gives you friend of the Ramble.
No, I think it should give you more.
Hall of fame on the board.
Can we give out OBEs?
No, I don't think we can.
Okay, right.
Yeah, if we couldn't get one for Shelley Ramey OB.
ORE, Order of the Ramble Empire.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
That'll do, won't it? Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name?
James Short.
Yeah, could be
James
the first
Short
ever.
Orr.
Yeah, James Short Orr. Yeah. James Short ORE. That'd be nice.
Lovely old
job. We'll have our fingers crossed for you, James.
Indeed,
James. And the good thing about that is it's a Sunday evening, afternoon kickoff, so we've got a whole weekend to build up.
We've got loads of goals to look forward to on that Sunday afternoon.
Hopefully, yeah.
Let's look ahead to the weekend, though, Luke.
Yeah, me again. Mm. Look ahead to the weekend with our lovely listeners. Dave Nutt, I'm looking forward to getting along to Oktoberfest in Munich and seeing which Bayern players look happiest to be away from Carlo's eyebrow. Carlo would have a blowout there, wouldn't he, if he's been fired?
A blowout.
Yeah,
wouldn't he?
Traditionally, they tend to rock up anyway, don't they? And you know,
well,
enjoy
quite
it.
But put yourself in this position. You're wealthy, right? You probably like a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I know Carlo definitely likes a glass of wine. You've been fired. You've got no responsibilities.
You're just describing
Go
Pete Donaldson.
It.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Actually. It reminds me of someone.
Can we take a moment to enjoy the name Dave Nutt as well, please?
Dave's emailed him before. I think he might be a friend of the Ramble, actually. Dave Nutt.
You'd think we'd know, wouldn't you, by now?
Yeah.
There is a lot of them. We've got a lot of friends.
They're all our friends.
We've got 104 friends.
Wesley Brownlee. I'm looking forward to Liverpool creating an exciting game with 47 close-range shots on goal and then drawing.
Is that Wes Brown having a dig with a rubbish assumed name?
Yeah, it's an extension of Wes Brown.
As long as it's a big scoring draw, Mr. Brown, we don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
But I think he's thinking of more of a nil-nil, though, isn't he?
Carl McKenna. As a Sheffield United supporter and a football fan from the Pete Donaldson School of Cynicism, I'm extremely worried some form of monumental cock-up is around the corner and fully expect us to get thumped against Forest. Well, listen, Carl, you probably will, because we've been bigging up Chris Wilder this week.
Indeed.
And you all know what happens after that.
Yeah. They've had a couple of good results of late Sheffield United, but it is the Championship. Anything can change.
Finn Todd. Grimsby v Lincoln in the Football League for the first time in 8 years. Glad to see Lincolnshire football slowly but surely rising back up after its disastrous decline in the 2000s. It's a local derby with real passion. Now, the reason I included that is because I erroneously referred to Mansfield Town v Grimsby as a local derby. What I meant to say was it's a bit of a derby game, because it was a bit of a derby in terms of fiercely competitive and all the rest of it. I'm digging a hole for myself. I apologise.
Yeah, but a derby...
That one certainly is a local derby.
But a derby in itself is not necessarily a local derby.
Exactly. Mm.
You have to call it a local derby, because Real Madrid-Barcelona is a derby. Manchester United versus Liverpool was traditionally a derby. You know, that kind of thing. At a time, not that long ago, Chelsea versus Liverpool, you could argue, was a derby. You see?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean...
You see?
I think the dictionary defines a derby as any sort of fiercely competed for event.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I've possibly sort of got out of it on a technicality there, I hope.
Yeah, but you were goading the Grimsby ultras, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. Okay. They were terrifying.
You're not doing it anymore.
I got this. I've just included this one at the end, Marcus, for you and you alone, from Marius Bjornason, who says...
Well, this is going to... I know where this is going.
No, you don't.
I do.
Do you? Go on.
Oh, I thought it sounded like a bit of a Swedish name.
It's not about Sven.
Ah. Yeah. So I don't read it out there.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you very much for listening to
He says, I'm looking forward to Roy Hodgson.
Oh,
there you go.
Then. All right, back
on board.
Back in.
Imitating Alan Pardew's dance from the FA Cup final after Crystal Palace scored their first goal of the season.
You're absolutely right. Forgive me for doubting you, chap.
God. We'll have our fingers crossed.
What a moment that's going to be, though. Those fans are going to take off. It's going to be amazing. I hadn't thought about how good that was going to be.
It could be a famous win for Big Roy. We look forward to that.
I don't think it will be. But, yeah.
But it would be a famous one.
It's so unlikely that it took me a while to process what you're actually saying then.
I think Jim's right. Lukaku could wrap up the Golden Boot on the weekend. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
I should probably say that the latest On the Continent show is out now. Subscribe to that on iTunes by searching On the Continent or wherever you get your pods. Yep. This week we talked about... Beşiktaş versus Fenerbahçe.
Quite a lot of Turkish delight going on.
Yeah,
in the pod.
We talked about Andrea Agnelli at Juventus. We talked a bit of...
Doing a Robbie Earl.
Real Betis. Yeah. A bit of Dortmund. All sorts of other stuff. So do check that out. And also, don't forget the Luke and Pete show. That's still out every Monday and you can subscribe to that. And that is all sorts of nonsense that basically isn't football with me and Pete. So do check that out
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview, sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. Pete will be back next week, I believe.
We all look forward to that.
Pete Donaldson will return in the pod.
Well, listen, if you want something to look forward to at the weekend, Pete's back this weekend and our Twitter account's just been upgraded to 280 characters. Listen, the mind boggles. I've already let him know and he's looking forward to it. So keep an eye on that at Football Ramble.
Absolutely. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Cheerio from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.